Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to BBC News. This morning, we're going to be talking about the Prime Minister and the Queen, because this is Britain.
And after we talk about the Prime Minister and the Queen, I'm going to address why my co-host does not have a British accent.
That's right. I had it. My accent surgically removed.
Oh my God.
I know.
Why would you do such a thing? You sound like an American.
What can I say?
A dirty American.
It went wrong. I was supposed to sound like a Frenchman.
Oh.
But this is what the doctor gave me. I'm suing him for malpractice.
You should, as you should.
Thank you.
Now, a report on the weather. It's rainy. This has been the BBC
News and weather. Check in tomorrow for more news and weather.
Hey, this is not actually the BBC where you fooled April Fools in September. What month is it?
It is September by the time this is released. Say what? That's
September
how the months work.
September Fools on all you guys. You totally thought you were listening to the BBC, you suckers.
That's right. But in fact, this is the radio station which hosts the BBC from 9 to 10 and then Magic the Amateuring from 10 until we're finished.
Yep. We have a unique time slot.
We really do. They give us free reign because the channel that hosts the BBC News is also such a fan of Magic the Gathering podcast.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Which is what this, by the way, is. If you are a new listener, welcome to the show. This is Magic
welcome.
The Amateuring, a show for players of Magic the Gathering, be they new, be they players returning to the game, or be they simple mortals who every once in a while enjoy a jest or two.
Yes. Yes, if you want to have some good old-fashioned magic truffles coming out of your mumpets,
this is the show for you. Was that supposed to be like a British person talking? Some truffles out of your mumpets?
That's what how British people say laughing out of your mouths.
Oh.
I'm having a bit of truffles out of my mumpets.
If you're from the UK, please tweet at us. And let us know if that is, in fact, what you say in the United Kingdom.
It is what they say, Megan, I know.
I mean, Maria studies Welsh, so
yes.
I'm sure she knows. I am one of your hosts. My name is Megan.
I'm Maria, as Megan just said. And on today's show, not only will we give you delights from the British Empire, we're going to talk a lot about Battle for Zendikar.
Absolutely. There are a lot of delights from the British Empire, so that's going to take up a good chunk of the show.
Yeah.
But we're also going to cover a little bit of the World Championship, which just happened this past weekend. We'll give you a little what's what on that, so you know what it is.
Never again, Megan.
World Championship.
Never again. We're also going to reveal some Battle for Zendikar mechanics, as well as spoilers, and we're going to talk about those new expeditions.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, my wallet's like, my wallet got sprung.
You're, like,
you know?
Like in the song?
Like in the song, yeah.
Okay.
My wallet has a penis.
I didn't need to know that about your accessories.
But now you do.
Oh, boy. Whether I like it or not.
For the noobs, World Championship.
So, you guys, there's not just this spiffy thing called the Pro Tour, which we have talked about before.
Yeah.
There is an even more spiffy thing called the World Championship, which happens just once a year. Last year it happened in December, but this year the powers that be decided to move it up and hold it in conjunction with PAX.
Yes.
Which was just this past weekend as well. And it's also concurrent now with the end of the season. You know, at the last Pro Tour, they had the Player of the Year. They inducted people into the Hall of Fame, and they were like, hey, it's kind of that time of year. It's the big, you know, the end of the season for Magic. We should also do the World Championship now.
Yeah, if you thought the Pro Tour was a big deal.
Oh, boy.
That has hundreds of players.
Between 400 and 500 every Pro Tour. The World Championship has just 24.
24.
2 and 4, which is not actually the way it works because that would be 6.
That would be 6, Megan.
It's 24.
24, that's
24 of the world's top players.
Wow. That is not a high number.
It is certainly not a high number. The way that the 24 spots are awarded
one for each month, question mark, should they make a calendar?
That would be 12. They would end up with,
what's wrong with 12
wires?
Oh my god. I just legitimately got excited that they could do a world championship calendar with that well-placed magic cards.
Of one player each month. They could do a world championship calendar, but they'd have to put two players per month.
Oh, that's weird.
Anyways. So it goes to the top, it goes to the player of the year is mm-hmm. one spot. Then there's one for each of the four pro tour winners.
Yes.
Of the four pro tours from the past year. And then it is the top players by geographic region.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some at large spots, which just go to after all of those other people have been awarded their spot in the world championship. It's, you know, numerically the list of the top players in the world.
Wow.
Who has not yet been invited. Okay, there's a certain number of at-large spots, and they just go down that list. And
this is
a pretty at-large spots.
Exclusive club, Megan.
It really is. It really is. And it leads to some great magic. The last 2 years, surprise, surprise, the winner was the same. It was Shahar Shenhar.
Yeah.
For 2 years running, which is pretty baller. Pretty baller
awesome.
Accomplishment as things
He's
go.
He's only 14 as well.
I know. 13 last year when he won, and 12 the year before. It really is incredible.
Especially since you consider the World Championship isn't just one format that they play.
No, they play a host of formats from the previous year. Last year, for instance, was the year that they had Vintage Masters on mm-hmm. Magic Online. So a physical Vintage Masters.
That was
draft
awesome.
That was super cool, was one of the events. This year, they had a Modern Masters 2015 draft to kick it off.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty great.
That was great to see, too, because... It had gone away for a while, and mm-hmm. it was a great format, so it was nice to see it come back.
Absolutely. Then they followed that up, so they did, right, they did three rounds of draft, and they followed that up with a couple of rounds of modern.
Modern.
Absolutely. So they followed it up with four rounds of modern. Then they came back the next day, and they did a Magic Oranges draft.
Oranges.
So that's pretty cool. And again, three rounds, and then four rounds of standard.
Yeah, so they really have to be a well-rounded player to win this championship.
Absolutely. You can't just have... it's not like a Grand Prix where you can come in and just prepare for just one thing. You gotta kind of prepare yourself across the board. You gotta be well-versed in it all. It's like being multilinguistic.
That's true. Especially when you are only playing with 24 other people, and you probably know them fairly well. Mm-hmm. You have to make calls based on what you think your opponents are going to bring deck-wise to the tournament.
Absolutely. You can also, there's definitely a little bit of metagaming that goes on.
Oh, yes.
In terms of what standard or modern decks you're going to play, and maybe even what you're drafting.
I feel like...
You happen to know a little bit about other people's draft preferences.
Reed Duke brought Boggles to a world championship.
Yeah. 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
The first time that Shahar won when he was just 12 years old.
True fact.
Absolutely. And he, they made it to the finals.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive.
So all you Boggle haters out there can just go suck a goose.
And
that's another British saying for you.
Absolutely.
You can go suck a goose. Go suck down a goose, you hear?
Is it suck a goose or suck down a goose? Because I really need some specificity
it's
here.
Either way, you know, it's regional. So,
okay.
You know,
like north of England, mm-hmm, suck a goose.
Suck a goose.
South of England, suck down a goose. Awesome. Glad we cleared that up. Now, when you're visiting the UK, you know which one to use.
Yep.
Based on where you are. We've
heard two British phrases so far. The show
absolutely.
Keep track.
But in that case, you know, Hexproof was a really obviously
good
a great
call.
Choice
mm-hmm.
For that tournament. This time around, the good call seems to have been Abzan Control, because that is the standard deck that made the finals. Both players, Seth Mansfield and Owen Turtenwald, were playing Abzan Control.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Manfield, is it, or Mansfield?
Mansfield.
What?
Manfield?
Manfield?
Mansfield. I mean, I want it to be Manfield now that I said it like that.
Man.
Right? Like, don't.
Man's. Manfield? Mansfield? Man. It's like a battlefield filled with men.
What? Manfield.
Manfield.
So there you go.
Yep.
But I think we can all say that the real winner was Siege Rhino.
Oh, Megan, does it pain you to say that? You hate Siege Rhino.
I hate Siege Rhino. You came out on top this time, but someday, friend, you are going to rotate out of standard, and will I be sad to see you go? No.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Siege Rhino.
That's right. Don't let that giant door hit you on the way out.
I hope you get splinters in your rhino butt from that door.
Absolutely.
That was really mean.
But you know what? I don't feel bad about it.
I meant it.
So, yeah. The World Championship, it only happens once a year, and it's always really great to catch because, as we mentioned, you get to see all of these formats across the board. It's players who have really had stellar years.
Right.
In one way or another. Player of the year, you know, top players in the world, whether in their region or at large, winners of Pro Tours, no matter what, the people who are playing in this event have just had incredible, incredible years of Magic. So you know that they're, you know, they're playing at the top of their game.
There were some fantastic matches as well. I mean, I saw some people come back from games that I was like, there is absolutely no way you will win this game.
Absolutely.
It was masterful. Somebody was playing the Black-White Spirits deck in Modern Masters Draft.
Absolutely.
And they had Waxmane Baku out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were way behind. And they're like, there's, you know, playing against somebody playing Infinity. They're like, there's no way that they can climb out of this. But that Baku managed to tap down everything. And he did the math so correctly that he was able to win.
Yeah.
It was just like that skill, that's play right there.
Yeah, it's so great to watch. So we highly recommend catching it when it comes around next year. Just like the flu, which you want to catch annually.
Yeah, because you don't want to get that same flu the next year.
Exactly.
So get it this year.
Absolutely recommend catching the World Championships, seeing that awesome variety of draft and constructed formats, and players on top of their game.
Was there a game that you particularly remember?
I'm trying to think. I think some of my favorite ones to watch were also the Modern Masters drafts.
Yeah.
So I remember the one that you're talking about, which was the Spirits versus Affinity, mm-hmm. which I think is the first draft if you go back and you watch
the
coverage archive. Yeah. And then let's see, I'm also trying to think. There were a couple of times when Jacob Nelson cast Elesh Norn.
Oh, sick.
You can watch him cast Elesh Norn like multiple times across the Modern Masters.
Somebody
draft,
also cast Kozilek.
So cool. Oh, yes. So anyways, it's super, like, I always really enjoy that, you know, seeing people cast insane spells. And his deck was, it was Jacob Wilson's draft deck that had Elesh Norn in it.
Oh, man.
So, I think it was just one of those. It was a very controlling, like, multicolor deck. Super cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Somebody had, like, 5 Gnarled packs or something.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of Gnarled packs. And someone was like, how many Gnarled packs is too many Gnarled packs? And I was like, there's no such thing, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's going to be Gnarleds coming back in Battle for Zendikar.
What? How do you know?
Because there's art.
That shows Gnarleds.
Yes.
Aw, little Gnarleds. They're the cutest.
They're so cute.
No.
Battle for Zendikar mechanics. No, silly. We don't mean mechanics that come in and work on your car when you live on Zendikar.
What? But all those Zendikar cars are notoriously unreliable.
Megan, they're not called Zendikar cars. That's ridiculous.
They're called Zendikars. Of course they are.
Obviously. So we've got a bunch of new mechanics coming your way in Battle for Zendikar with the fall set. And we're going to give you a quick rundown on them so you can feel ready before you even need to start thinking about getting ready.
Absolutely. We just talked about the World Championship, which happened at PAX. Every year at PAX, it's always a great weekend to watch for Magic stuff of all kinds, because it's mm-hmm. also where they do the big announcement for the fall sets. There's tons of sweet preview cards, and then they talk about a lot of stuff like this, like mechanics, which is where this info is coming to you from.
So the first one, let's go in alphabetical order, shall we?
Let's.
It's Awaken. Awaken. So a card will have Awaken, and then it will have a number. So I'm going to talk about the card Ruinous Path right now, which is one black, black sorcery. Destroy target creature or planeswalker.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible.
So it's like it's one black black, so it's exactly like a it's not instant, it's sorcery. So it's like a slightly less powerful Hero's Downfall.
But it has Awaken 4.
Mm-hmm.
5 black black. If you cast a spell for 5 black black, also put 4 +1/+1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land. So, 3/4/4.
Pretty cool. So these instants and sorceries, obviously you can just cast them for their casting cost.
Yep.
Like Ruinous Path, you could just cast for one black black as a sorcery, destroy a creature or a planeswalker. But say it's late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's real late. You happen to have 7 or 8 mana available. You can cast this for 5 black black.
Oh, amazing.
And you get a 4/4.
Like, who does not want a card that's like, here's a 4/4 and then kill whatever you want?
Pretty crazy.
Everybody wants that card.
Yeah.
This card's rare. P.S. Of course it is. In case you couldn't tell.
Of course it is. It's already basically slightly worse Hero's Downfall. And that card has been a standard format staple since it came out.
So yeah, Awaken. There's going to be counters running around, so make sure you've got your attractive dice collection at hand.
Yes. Leave your unattractive dice at home.
Yeah, leave those things behind.
Those can just, you know, those are for your personal time.
What do you use your dice for personal time?
I just like deciding random things in my life. Like, should I bake this cake? Even is yes, odd is no.
Why would you ever not bake a cake when you have the option?
Because I used my at-home dice and I rolled them and they told me not to.
Oh!
I mean, do you have a problem with the phrase at-home dice?
Yes. I just thought you were going to tell a sexy story, but instead you told a story about cake. Oh, what am I saying? That is a sexy story.
I mean, I think we can all agree that, like, the sexiest stories involve cake of some kind.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette's anecdote of letting them eat cake is widely known as the sexiest story of all time. That's just history.
Sexy French Revolution.
Okay, so this is some text that's from the Wizard's Mothership about Awaken, and it says, you may be wondering why the land becomes 0/0 and gets +1/+1 counters instead of just becoming a 4/4 elemental. Great question! Thanks. One reason is that you may want to choose a land that's already a creature as a target. So you could pile more onto this thing. It could become an 8/8 if you had two of these. Instead, maybe you want one big threat instead of two smaller ones.
Yeah,
so that's interesting.
Absolutely.
The next mechanic we're going to talk about is Rally.
Rally! We talked about last week how there was a creature type ally. Mm-hmm. So allies are back, and Rally is an ally mechanic.
Yeah, you saw allies originally in the first Zendikar block. So they're mm-hmm. they're returned. It makes sense that they're returned.
Yeah, man. So Rally is...
something you go to in high school to pep up your goddamn football team and you don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, why are we spending so much on the sports program?
You're like, hey, I was in science class. I was learning something good. Never mind.
Excuse me, the theater. Anyways.
Did any of you guys feel like that? Was it just me?
Just us? All right. No.
Although it was a good excuse to go and find somewhere to make out. When nobody was paying attention.
Yeah, it's a really good opportunity to use your private dice.
Oh, I could tell a story here that I'm not going to tell.
About dice?
Mm-mm.
Or about rallies?
Sneaking out of a pep rally to make out.
Oh, man. Do you want to tell it?
It's so scandalous, Megan.
It's so scandalous?
It's going to sound way worse than it is.
What?
Okay. I don't know if I can't believe I never told you this before.
Okay.
It was the most scandal that I've ever had in my high school life.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I was kind of dating this guy on the sly.
Okay.
And we were theater nerds, and we were doing You Can't Take It With You, which requires a police officer in it.
Okay.
And
oh, man. I really hope this is going where I think it's going.
And so he thought it would be funny to lock me in a pair of the handcuffs that were on the prop table. Not like that. I mean, it was...
Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, sure, not like that.
And they're like, oh, haha, isn't this funny? Oh, my God, where's the key? No key, Megan. No key to be found. Panic ensues. I'm in these handcuffs. Like... Going around the school, like, opening this teacher's desk drawer, like, is there something in here that I could use to pick this lock? No, nothing. I go to choir, which was after this, in the handcuffs. In choir, people are like, what the fuck? Just like, hi, everybody. And someone's like, you need to get this taken care of. So I go down to the front office. I'm like, please, I'm the secretary, please help me. I'm stuck in these handcuffs. They had to call one of the two on-duty police officers in my small town to come to my school to unlock me from these real handcuffs.
Oh, my God.
Yep. That actually happened.
This is why we shouldn't have pep rallies.
You see what I'm saying?
First of all. Second, Radiolab can suck it. American Life can go to hell. It's the best story that's ever been told on a podcast. Hands down.
I'm like, down. There's no way that really happened,
but
it did.
You went to choir?
Yeah.
Like, you just went to class?
Well, I didn't want to not go to class. I was a good student.
Oh, my God. What a nerd. What a nerd. I have to go to class.
I know. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. In these handcuffs, everybody's staring at me, of course.
Of course they were. They were all just like, what the fuck?
I don't remember what I said to the secretary. I made up some lie of how I got into them.
The secretary wrote a note home that was like, Maria and her boyfriend are using the private dice at school.
She knew. Oh, God. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah.
We were talking about allies.
Rally and allies.
Rallies. Rally is an ability word as opposed to a mechanic. It does not mean a static thing, right? Like prowess always means the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rally means a different thing depending on the card. So it says rally dash and then some text that will tell you exactly what this rally effect is going to do in this instance. So for instance, in this Hero of Goma Fada.
That sounds like you just had a stroke.
Rally, whenever a Hero of Goma Fada or another ally enters the battlefield under your control, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn.
Wow, that can be really powerful.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Especially that particular ability seems very, very powerful.
Especially if you have some sweet Eldrazi on your side. I mean, I know that's kind of like at odds with the flavor, but... Swinging with an 8-9 or an indestructible, I don't know. Seems good.
I mean, an 8-9 is already pretty good by itself.
It is.
So, yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, basically, every time that you have an ally enter the battlefield, these rallies will help give you different bonuses for drafting lots of them. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Synergistic.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Converge.
Yeah.
I like to call it a rainbow mechanic.
Oh, that's a nice name for it. Why do you call it a rainbow mechanic?
Because it rewards you for the more colors of mana you spend to cast the spell.
Mm.
So for instance, on this guy, the card is named Radiant Flames. Converge. Radiant Flames deals X damage to each creature, where X is the number of colors of mana spent to cast Radiant Flames. So its casting cost is 2 colorless, 1 red. So you need to spend 1 red, but you could spend a green and a black to cast it, and it would do 3.
Holy buckets.
3 to everything for 3 mana.
That's pretty cool.
That's a good deal.
It is a good deal, man.
Are you going to have that on turn 3? Probably not. Are you going to want to cast on turn 3? Probably not. But,
I mean, you never know. There might
you
be.
You never know. Could have a lot of spawns out there or something.
It could be. It also could be, you know, something that's constructed playable where you're a little bit more likely to maybe see.
Yeah.
3 colors of mana on turn 3.
The thing that's interesting about Converge, however, is that you cannot overpay for the spell. So you can't spend blue mana and white mana and black and, you know, to cast this. It's cast 3.
Yeah.
Cost 3. That's what you have to spend.
It's only ever going to be three. But for three mana, a three mana deal three damage to everything is real solid.
You know, but seriously, if you only cast this for like red, 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 say, I think in this format, that might be fine.
It could be. I mean, depending on what else is going on in the world.
Because there's Eldrazi spawn. I don't know if there's going to be spawn this time because there's a new kind of Eldrazi baby.
Which we'll talk about.
That is a 1/1.
It seems like it's the replacement.
Okay.
They're no longer spawn.
Sad.
But we'll talk in a minute about what the new ones are called.
I'm going to miss spawn anyway. It's just a funny word.
But these ones are going to be cool too.
Okay, Megan.
So we also have a returning mechanic, Landfall. Which just...
I came in like a landfall. Nope, not going to work. Go.
Landfall is like... It appeared previously, and like Rally, it has a dash, and then it will tell you what does landfall do in this specific instance. So it's not a keyword. It's going to depend on it's another ability word. It's going to depend on what the card itself says.
Yes.
Like Maria, what's this dude?
This dude is called Orin Reef Hydra for 4GG. It has trample, it's a 5/5, no big deal. Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Orin Reef Hydra. If that land is a forest, put 2 +1/+1 counters on Orin Reef Hydra instead.
Yeah, so this is something new that we've seen with Landfall, which there are, we'll talk about another card that's been previewed, which is if it's a certain basic land type, then you're going to get an additional bonus. You're not going to just get... regular old landfall, you're going to get landfall plus a little.
So the blue version of this has been spoiled. I'm wondering now if there's going to be one for every color.
I bet you there is,
yeah,
man.
I bet you
it
there
seems
is, too.
Pretty likely.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, so landfall is super sweet. We like it.
Ingest is up next. Ingest.
Yes, and I think that we've talked about this before.
We
saw a card that had it.
And I told you not to eat them for your fiber, and we got in that fight about what regular means.
Oh, that's right. Yep. We totally did. Aw, good times.
Good fights.
Yeah. So ingest just means when it deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of their library.
Yep.
So there you go.
Pretty simple and straightforward. The thing with Ingest, as we mentioned last show, is that other cards are going to play with Ingest and allow you to return cards of your opponents from exile.
Absolutely.
To help you out.
Speaking of, we're going to talk about... Wait, go up a little bit.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
This is just
a creature type.
Yeah, creature type. Processor. That this is a specific ability that allows you to put your opponent's exiled cards into their graveyard for some effect.
Right.
So creatures that have the additional creature type processor are going to be ones that can remove those cards from exile into the graveyard, maybe.
I wish they would have one card that's like, creature, Eldrazi, food processor, and then it's like a little blender.
You want to... Blender Eldrazi.
A little Blender Eldrazi.
Okay. Okay.
Wizards, listen, it would be great. Just one joke card. We usually have one kind of jokey card a set.
What? What's the joke card from Oranges?
From Oranges? Well, I'm thinking of the one... I'm thinking of the Surfing Goblin.
Oh, yeah. Mardu Scout. But, I mean, that's a legit card.
It is legit, but the art was kind of like...
Silly. Okay.
So I'm just asking for a... I know you can't go back in time, but go back in time and make me a Blender Eldrazi.
Okay. I just want to point out, like, from a culinary perspective...
Yeah. They're not the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing.
What's the difference?
A food processor and a blender. Like, food processors can do like, a whole range of shit. Blenders are just a little bit more narrow in their abilities.
You sound like a snob right now. You sound like a food processor snob.
I mean, maybe I am. Okay.
What? They both chops? What?
Look, I'm just saying that I'm a little bit bourgeoisie when it comes to food processing.
That's true. I have noticed you drooling over people's KitchenAid mixers.
I do. If you own a KitchenAid mixer and I am in your house, I will touch it.
That sounded so creepy.
I mean, but it's not. It's just like a thing.
That's that's where food goes. You're gonna put your grubby little hands over there.
Are you calling my hands grubby and little?
Your hands are fairly small.
They're fairly small. You're calling them grubby? Two, I'm not putting them, like, inside the mixing bowl or, like, all over the beaters. I'm just putting them, like, on the mixer.
You're licking your hand and then you're putting it all around the bowl.
Yes, that's what I'm doing. But I was gonna like pat it the way that you like pet someone's cat.
No, it is not alive. You're not gonna, you're just gonna like, you're gonna pet it?
I'm gonna pat it.
Weird.
Aww. Good mixer.
Oh god. So good.
You act like I'm crazy. I'm
not crazy. I suppose I'm the one who wants a cat hand.
Yeah. So now we're getting into scions,
yes.
Which are what we had mentioned are the new spawn. They are 1-1s instead of 0-1s. Ooh,
whoa, so that they makes can a even big difference.
Yeah, they can get in there for a little bit of damage, maybe. Mm-hmm. They are 1-1s, but they can also be sacked to add one colorless to your mana pool.
Does it hurt more to sack a 1-1? Like your child was kind of good, and you're like, oof, gotta kill it for mana. More than when it's a 0-1.
And you think I'm creepy.
Well, look, that's what they're doing. They're I'm hungry. They're basically cannibalizing their young so they can have something better.
I mean...
Aren't they?
No, you're right. I mean, it's weird. It's a little creepy.
All right.
It's a little creepy.
The final thing we'll talk about in this segment is Devoid, which we talked about on last show as well. This card has no color, despite having a colored casting cost. So
absolutely. And a lot of these have abilities that also involve other colorless creatures.
Yep.
Devoid. Boom, 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 boom. So those are your mechanics for a battle for Zendikar. Maria, how do you feel about these mechanics?
I don't want to talk to old-timey newsman right now. But honestly, old-timey newsman, I think they're great. I'm excited for them. I think the Eldrazi are awesome.
The art on these
the
is
art
just
is
insane.
Great.
They are so crazy.
Ugh.
They, like...
So creepy.
They're so creepy. They're amazingly creepy. I'm blown away by
and
it.
And Awaken, I think, is a great mechanic.
Super
so.
Cool. It seems really awesome.
Yeah, really excited.
I am very... Honestly, I'm already getting super hyped for this set. I think it's going to be so cool.
And everybody, all you five color enthusiasts out there, you've got Converge. So, get ready to go deep.
Real cool. Gosh, the art on them is just, they all are so creepy.
I know. This is like
they're
the first
all,
time.
Like, they all look legit baller.
Like, I would not want to, I'm like afraid of this plane.
Yeah. They're wrecking some major havoc.
On Theros, I did not have a reaction. I was not like, oh, that starfish is going to suck my face off. You know?
I don't think you were supposed to feel that way about it. It was an 03.
Okay, well, some better card.
You weren't like, oh no, Heliod's going to murder me the way he murdered Elspeth.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
I did not fear him.
But these
things,
these
I
Eldrazi,
fear.
It's like this Eldrazi has a smaller Eldrazi in his hand that he's crushing.
That's what I'm saying,
like,
cannibals.
That's intense.
Oh boy. And they're just like some weird kind of hearts and ribs and like.
Yeah. Oh, like Incubator Drone. You guys, I don't want to give anything away too early, but like this is one of the creepiest cards I've ever seen.
It's putting him in some kind of weird web.
Like,
sack.
I don't even know
spider
what is going
silk.
On, but it is gross and it is super weird.
These Eldrazi have spaghetti hair.
They totally do. They do all have like noodle hair.
Noodle hair. The Eldrazi have dreads.
They totally do. So, in addition to the very cool blah 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 mechanics that we saw at PAX, we also learned that there are going to be these things called expeditions, which will be opened at about the rate of a foil mythic rare.
Awesome, which means never.
I mean, you know, I have.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, you open them every once in a while. Every once in a while. So they're going to be very rare. They can be opened in Battle for Zendikar packs. They are not going to necessarily be, they won't be standard legal. They will just be legal in the most recent constructed set in which the original is legal.
Right.
So if the original is legal in modern, then it's legal in modern. Et cetera, which I think most of these are.
Yes. So you could also use them, by the way, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it in limited. If you open one of these, you may play it. So. Yes,
of course. And they also have versions of these, which are the rare dual lands from...
Yes, from Battle for Zendikar.
So far, we have seen Arid Mesa. So we're seeing some old fetches.
Mm-hmm. Steam Vents.
Ooh, some Ravnica Shocklands. Mm. Hallowed Fountain, also a Ravnica Shockland.
Oh, beautiful art.
Absolutely. They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. They're full art. They're going to be foil. They just have these crazy, beautiful borders.
Oh,
they're
amazing. Man.
They're gorgeous, you guys.
How could I even sell one if I got one? They're so pretty.
I don't know. But then it would be like, if you ever put in a deck, it'd be the only one.
I know.
Because they're going to be very, probably very pricey.
You know, that's how you know who is really baller. I'm waiting for these to show up on coverage like somebody has a set of them,
oh
you know?
Oh, my God. And you'll be like, that guy. Which, you like, some people do, like, foil out their modern decks.
Yeah. Because
they're like, this format, I'm going to play this format forever, and I'll play this deck forever, so I will pay the money.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, respect, man.
That's going to be awesome.
You got it. Flaunt it.
Ooh, I want to open one so bad.
And then, yeah, then we also have the 5 rare dual lands that we have, that we were previewed in Battle for Zendikar. So that will bring us to Battle for Zendikar previews.
So, speaking of these lands, they're different kind of dual land than we've ever seen before.
Absolutely, which is very cool.
Yeah, I always wonder, how are they going to make these dual lands different? Mm-hmm. And this time, they read, here's an example of one, Prairie Stream. Prairie Stream, which is what I call my pee. Anyway, Prairie Stream enters the battlefield tapped unless you control 2 or more basic lands.
Oh, snap.
So some people have taken to calling these Tango Lands.
Why is that?
Because it takes 2.
To tango. notably, these are also, they have basic land types, which is something that made like the Ravnica Shockland special, because you can fetch for them.
You can fetch for them.
Unlike the most recent dual lands that are in oranges and were in M15, the Pain Lands, those don't have a basic land type. Like, yes, they tap for, you know, like red and blue. But you can't fetch them because they're non-basic. These have land types, like Prairie Stream is a plains island. Sunken Hollow is an island swamp, etc.
They're following the tradition of really just being euphemisms for vagina.
Yeah.
But what's cool is that I don't think you have to put in a lot of work for these to be really good.
No, absolutely not. They're pretty cool.
I
think that we will definitely, I mean, we almost always see the rare cycle of dual lands in standard, and I think that these are going to be no exception to that rule. I will be very interested to see if they make their way into modern.
Yeah, I'm wondering too.
Just because, you know, it's hard.
What about
to tell.
Legacy?
Legacy does crazy things.
They don't need this?
I don't know what they need. I don't keep up with them.
I don't know what they need.
Those legacy nuts.
Because they have lands that are just like, oh, this is just a plains island.
Yeah, they do.
That's
crazy.
It.
They do crazy.
No
shit
drawback.
Like,
no big deal.
Back when Magic was just like, what should we do? I don't know. Put 2 land types on something. Great idea, Ralph.
Full art lands are obviously back. If you head over to mythicspoiler.com, you can see a whole bunch of them.
They are pretty gorgeous.
I sent Megan a message today because I was like, I'm just staring at the dual lands, Megan. I mean, I'm just staring at the lands, Megan. Do I have a problem?
Yes, the answer is yes, you have a problem. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. So head on over there and take a look. Super cool. We are very excited. We hope you're excited.
Oh, yes.
Get excited.
I'm going to get those fat packs. I've never bought a fat pack before.
I don't even know what that means.
It is. It's a box you can buy of Magic cards.
Uh-huh.
And it comes with, I think, 40 or 60 basic
lands. Yeah, it comes with that little packet of lands.
Mm-hmm.
You should probably pre-order that sucker.
So that's a good idea. I should, because I'm definitely getting one.
Yeah, very cool. I am way behind that.
So let's talk about some of our favorite cards.
I'm
gonna
go to
spoiled.
A draft and only draft the lands out of packs.
I mean, fair. I agree with that. Magic Online, I'm gonna be picking that maybe fourth pick.
Yeah. Right? Sometimes it's just like, none of these cards are exciting. Give me that land.
Give me that land.
All right, let's talk about some of these mofos.
The one I want to mention just really quick off the bat, because I think it has kind of like a good look at where we're going with this set, is Eldrazi Devastator. It costs 8, colorless. Mm-hmm. It has trample, it's an 8/9. That's it.
That's it. It's a creature now, Eldrazi.
Does this remind you of any other card, Megons?
Does it remind me of anything?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that Ulamog's Crusher.
Ulamog's Crusher, which was an 8/8 for 8. Yeah. Didn't have trample.
No.
So this card is just strictly better in every sense than Ulamog's Crusher.
Wait, Ulamog's Crusher had Annihilate. Well. And must attack each turn of Fable.
That's a drawback. Right?
Wait, you're right. Okay. But I'm saying, but Ulamog's Crusher had Annihilate.
It did have Annihilate. But I still think this is better.
And do you know what? This notably brings us back to what we were talking about last week when we kind of went over Mark Rosewater's look at design in the past year.
Yeah.
And he was saying with Dragons of Tarkir, he was like, if your theme isn't at common, then it isn't your theme.
Yeah.
And we're certainly seeing that lesson taken to heart here in terms of like, we're seeing an Eldrazi at common because Eldrazi are the theme.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them too. Dominator Drone, that's at common. Etc.
He's an Eldrazi drone. It's very cool.
So what has caught your little eye in the sky, Megan?
Well, obviously, we have Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger.
Ooh, girl. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, yeah. 10 mana for a legendary creature, Eldrazi, 10/10.
Oh, my gosh.
When you cast Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger, exile 2 target permanents. Indestructible. Whenever Ulamog attacks, defending player exiles the top 20 cards of his or her library.
So you have...
That's a Ceaseless Hunger.
0 turns to deal with this?
You have one turn.
You have one turn.
You have immediately.
Yep. Right now. Because you'll be dead. You're getting milled. Straight up. You don't have 20...
You're going to get hardcore real deck.
By the time your opponent has 10 mana... I am trusting you have less than 20 cards in your library.
You very possibly. I mean, my guess is that you could get hit with this once.
Really?
I bet you could take one hit.
I don't even think you could. At 10 mana, know. You know?
I mean, but assuming if they ramp into it. They have a bunch of scions. Sure.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, no, you're right. 20 is a lot, especially in limited formats. I think standard, maybe you're going to be able, if you could handle it real quick, you can weather that storm, although you're going to have to exile it because it's indestructible.
Please let this be in standard. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I hope someone builds like Ulamog control.
Oh, God.
I would love to see that. That would be great. Or Ulamog ramp. Anyways, not as great a nickname as the Infinite Gyre.
No.
But, no. I mean, the Ceaseless Hunger. It'll have to do.
Yeah, this card's awesome.
So great. And again, the art on this. Okay, I love, if you look at the close-up of the art, there's like a bunch of tiny birds that are flying in front of him.
Yeah, those are called scale birds.
It's so cute. It's so cute, all these little birds.
They got to show how big he is.
I know. It's awesome. They're so cute.
So cute.
Little scale birds. Maria, what has caught your eye?
Well, a lot of these have caught my eye, like the one I mentioned before, that 8/9. But let's talk for a second about Guardian of Tazim, which is 3BB for 4/5 Flying Sphinx.
Nice.
With landfall, and so this is going to be our blue Landfall Matters card.
Yeah.
Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, tap target creature and opponent controls. If that land is an island, that creature does not untap during its controller's next untap step. Sticky tap. For free, basically.
Holy cow.
This card is amazing. Play a lot of islands, kids.
Yeah, man. Super, super cool. Very sweet.
Just straight up awesome.
Straight up awesome. We can talk a little bit about a couple of other Awaken cards.
Oh, sure.
I think we've already mentioned Sheer Drop.
Yes, we have.
Which was the 2W, destroy target tap creature, Awaken 3 for 5W.
You get a 3/3.
Yeah. Pretty darn cool.
This is an interesting card to me. Mist Intruder, 1BB for a 1/2 flying with Devoid. Yep. Is this card going to be good?
And ingest.
So I think it's best. It's just an ingest enabler. Like, you don't really want a 1/2 for 2 flyer, do you?
In some formats, it depends. And then we had mentioned there's a lot of cards that there's a lot of these Devoid cards that give you abilities if you have other Devoid cards, like Barrage Tyrant, 4 and a red, creature Eldrazi. He's a 5/3 with Devoid. 2 and a red, sacrifice another colorless creature. Barrage Tyrant deals damage equal to the sacrificed creature's power to target creature or player.
That is an amazing card.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things like that that are, you know,
really powerful.
Very powerful.
If you want a ramp, which I assume you do in this format, you can use something like Kozilek's Channeler for 5. Colorless. It's a 4/4. Tap, add 2 to your mana pool.
Yeah, 5 mana, 4/4, not too shabby. And maybe if you're trying to cast an Ulamog.
I mean, this card's just good.
Yeah.
It's solid.
Solid card, man.
That's why I was questioning Mist Intruder, because I'm like, this format wants you to cast these big creatures. I mean, let's be honest, why are you playing Battle for Zendikar unless you want to cast an Eldrazi?
Maria, you have to, you can't just like skip 2, 3, and 4 drops.
I'm just going to skip them.
My curve starts at 5.
My curves.
It goes up from there.
Ew, I'm actually interested to see, you know, like, does this format, do you even want a 2 drop? You know what I mean?
I mean, every format you want some 2 drop.
Do you though?
Yes.
But do you? There's some formats where you're like, I could have a 2 drop, but it better be a really like good, meaningful 2 drop.
That's true. And maybe this is one of those, but like foregoing 2 drops entirely?
I feel like sometimes we did. Like, what was it? The one that you love so much, M14?
Oh, that's true. Just draw all the cards, man.
Yeah, you didn't even need 2 drops. I recall.
You could get run over by aggro slivers if you didn't watch out.
Yeah, that's true.
There weren't a ton of 2 drops, that's true.
I just had a memory. I had a memory.
Let's see, go up a little bit.
Yeah.
Retreat to Emeria. This is like the retreat to Kazandu.
Xanadu.
Yep, sure. 3 and a white, enchantment, landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, choose one. Put a 1/1 white core ally creature token onto the battlefield. Creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn.
Core.
Pretty cool. Let's see, we have back. Yeah, man.
This is another example. People like this card, I think. Coastal Discovery.
3 and a blue, draw 2 cards.
Yep, classic.
Yeah, I mean, I want it for 2 and a blue.
Well, right. But it has awaken 4.
That's true. For 5 and a blue, awaken 4. So you get a 4/4 and draw 2 for 5 and a blue. That seems pretty solid.
That seems like a good card.
I would play that.
Yes.
Yeah. we also have our first Planeswalker.
Oh, yeah. Gideon.
Ally of Zendikar. 2 white for a Planeswalker, Gideon. Loyalty 4.
He's just okay. I mean, he's good, but...
I mean, he's fine. He's a Gideon. He does what Gideons do. My name is Gideon. I do what Gideons do.
And what do Gideons do, Megan?
They turn into creatures.
Yeah, Gideon can't... He's a planeswalker, but he never forgets his roots. You know what I mean?
No, he's always like, I was once a man.
Much like a cougar who dyes her hair to keep it from turning gray, he does not forget his roots. Best joke of my life. Hold on, let me high five myself. All right,
+1 until end of turn, Gideon, ally of Zendikar, becomes a 5/5 human soldier ally creature with indestructible. That's still a planeswalker. Keep in mind that will not trigger rally because it is not entering the battlefield.
Yep,
just FYI. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to him this turn. 0, put a 2/2 white knight ally creature token onto the battlefield. That would trigger rally.
Yep.
-4, you get an emblem with creatures you control, get +1/+1.
So my goal with Gideon is to make him a dude and smash,
mm-hmm.
and then get a couple emblems and then keep smashing.
Holy buckets.
I want to make more than one emblem.
Wow. That's a dream.
I know.
It's a dream for the ages.
A girl can dream.
I think if you've gotten to plus Gideon, like plus and then minus and then plus him enough times to minus him again, you're probably doing fine. You probably already won.
Yeah, I probably did. Maybe I'm just getting greedy.
I mean, it's okay.
So, yeah, tons of sweet cards that have been spoiled. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, if you want to take a look, go to mythicspoiler.com.
Very cool.
Check these out. Also follow us on Twitter at MTAcast because we do tweet out spoilers when we see them.
Absolutely. If you roll back up to the top, just real quick, wanted to talk about one more.
Sure.
We talked about the processors.
Yeah.
So this one, Blight Herder, 5 for a creature Eldrazi processor, 4/5. It's already really solid. When you cast Blight Herder, you may put 2 cards your opponents own from exile into their owner's graveyards. So that's that exact thing that we talked about. If you do, put 3/1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature tokens onto the battlefield. They have sacrifice this creature. Add 1 to your mana pool.
Three?
It's 3 of them.
Oh,
holy buckets. But wow. You have to have, they have to have 3 cards in exile for you to put into their graveyard.
So this is why, another reason why you want to play Mist Intruder for sure.
Also because Mist Intruder is real cute.
And also because Mist Intruder sounds like somebody who walks into farts on purpose.
Your farts misty? Because it's a little worrisome.
Yes, they're like the mists that roll over England.
Gross.
They smell like the River Thames, fishy and full of garbage.
I've heard that all the mist in England is actually just the Queen's farts.
Megan, I think that's true. I think that's true.
I think it is. I agree.
Oh, God. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. I hope you've learned something, including a few adorable British phrases that you can slip into your British phrase book when you go over the pond and say some of them.
Absolutely.
You will not get beat up.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Thanks so much for joining us for yet another episode of Magic the Amateuring and BBC News.
So before we sign off, I'd like to say, if you want to listen to Magic the Amateuring, go ahead to our website, magictheamateuring.co.uk. Just kidding, it's not. It's .com.
Magictheamateuring.com. You can also find us on themeadery.org, on iTunes, Stitcher, iTunes again.
An MTG Cast.
An MTG Cast. Find us online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
You almost said my name.
I almost did.
Megan, before we recorded today, was like, I can't tell the difference between you and me anymore.
So true sometimes.
I'm horny underscore unicorny.
I am Ice Cream Socialist.
That's right. Okay, we got it. As we said, follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Like us on Facebook. We're facebook.com/MTAcast. And support us on Patreon. If you got any laughs out of this show or any information or anything that, you know, left you with more than just meh, throw $1 our way. You'll get a cool sticker. Throw $2 our way. You'll get a cool bracelet. That's not the right word. Wristband. You'll get a cool Magic the Amateuring wristband.
You can call it a bracelet if you want.
Okay, sure. Bracelet.
Or if you're a dude and you're comfortable with wearing that.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're really cool. So, yeah, come to Patreon. Join the club. We've already got a family going on. We're trying to work our way up to producing Magic the Pro the Ring, which will, when we hit that level, we have to do another podcast. Only one a month, Megan. Only don't freak out.
What?
I know. Our lives are insane.
They really are.
But it's going to be for higher level Magic players. We're going to talk with pros. We've got some cool ones that are interested in joining us. So make the dream come alive and throw your pennies in the collection bucket.
That's right. Just like church, it's tithing.
Yeah, except we won't lie to you.
Wow, strong claims over here. Strong claims about religion.
Sorry, I got real political there.
You really did.
Woo!
Yikes. Anyways, thanks so much for listening, and until next time, high five a cougar.